Mark chapter 4, we did a little bit this last week. I'm going to do just a little bit more, wrap up a couple things here. Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word." Amen. So this is the discussion of the word of God getting planted in the kingdom, which is our heart, which is inside of us.
Oh, yeah.
The word of God must be planted by us speaking the word of God.
Amen.
And so that's the context. Then it gets down and says, verse 26, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may let nest under its shade." There's all sorts of ways to come at this and see what this means. One thing, it could mean that the word of God gets planted in you and all of a sudden you grow up and be spiritually mature so that people can come hang out with you.
Amen.
So that you're a blessing to people, so that you're a light to the world. So that's part of it, that the word goes in your heart and you grow up spiritually. All right. But on the other hand, it can also mean miracles for your life, future for your life, where when you believe something and you say something into the kingdom of God and you declare something with your own mouth, that's the word.
Amen.
And before you know it, you don't even know how this works. He doesn't know how this works. We don't know how seeds work. We don't know how the miracle can be in a seed. That's all God.
Amen.
And you don't know how your sentence can change your future.
Amen.
Well, I don't know how that works, but I know it works.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He said, the kingdom of God, so this is like the way God does things, God's realm, God's rulership, God's universe, which is inside you, the way he does things. You know, in every kingdom, there's a king. He's the king of his kingdom. Do you agree? Jesus, the king of all, right? Well, the king rules, doesn't he? Well, he has rulership in your heart. And so his way is supposed to rule us. If you can just get on his system, you can change everything.
Amen.
And so here he says, the kingdom is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. He himself does not know how. For the earth does what it needs to do. But notice it says, he should scatter seed and then should sleep.
Yep.
You know, this is where you don't have to do the miracle. You just have to plant the seed for the miracle. You don't have to figure out how it's going to work. You just plant the seed for it to work.
Amen.
What's the seed? The seed's the word of God. You need to quote a scripture about your life. You need to quote some God truth about yourself. You need to speak something that's supposed to happen for you. And then what do? Go take a nap. You're supposed to hook up with God's truth, say God's truth. That's it. Go eat. Go to sleep. And then get up and say it again if you want to, and then go to sleep.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The farmer doesn't have to make that seed produce a miracle of genetic reproduction.
Right.
He just plants it.
Right. Yep.
Throws a little water on it every day.
Yep.
All you got to do is say the truth. Decide the truth.
Right.
Decide where you're headed.
Right.
Decide the end from the beginning. Say it. Decide it, say it, and that's it.
Amen.
Next day, just say it again like it's already done. And just keep saying it for about 3 months.
Amen.
3 weeks, 3 hours, 3 months, 3 years, I don't care. Just keep the process going.
Amen.
The water does have to stay moist. You do have to... Interesting, huh? So this is how the kingdom works. This is how miracles work. This is how anybody that believes in God can make things happen. This is how anybody that doesn't even believe in God can make a good future for their life. Did you know that even atheists use this principle? They just don't know it. It just so happens we have access to God helping our process. We've watched people that don't believe in God have more faith than Christians. Faith in what? Faith in getting something accomplished. Faith in I can do it. Faith in we're going to make this work one way or the other. That's how businesses get created. That's how multi-million dollar companies get made. Is somebody got determined to say, we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's faith. And to some degree, that's not faith in God, but it's faith. It's belief. Faith is very powerful.
Yes.
For the Christian, we ought to have an advantage. We hook up with God,
yes,
and then the sky's the limit.
Amen.
Then nothing can stop us if we do it God's way, but this is His way. We have to make some decisions in our heart, say it with our mouth, plant the seed, understand this is coming.
Amen.
Whatever miracle I need, it's coming.
Yes.
Go to Galatians 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Now, this context is about money, but I'm not going to talk about the money side. Galatians 6, verse 7. Verse 6 talks about distributing to those that teach. But verse 7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I can say it this way. He that does things in the will of God will reap everlasting life.
Yes.
Will reap all things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He that sows to his flesh, he that sows to his emotions. What does that mean? That means you rehearse emotional things in your mind. Rather than Scripture and rather than truth, sometimes we rehearse what our flesh is saying, what our emotions are saying, what our attitude is saying. And then guess what comes? Once you've rehearsed that a bunch, then the next thing is your spouse comes home and you say, you know what so-and-so said? You're going to express what you've been rehearsing. You're going to express what you've been planting and watering. Well, I just don't know what we're going to do, man. I got this news. I don't know what we're going to do. And by the time your kids get home, you're like, I don't know what we're going to do. You're just watering something negative. You're watering something that's natural. You're sowing to the flesh. Guess what you're going to reap? Flesh. You can't water that kind of garbage. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. There's other ways to sow to the flesh, but a lot of it has to do with our minds and our thoughts and our words. Remember, the sower sows the word. This says sow to his flesh. Now, you can plant seed with the flesh in many ways. But then it says, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart.
Amen.
King James says, don't faint.
Amen.
In due season you will reap if you don't faint. How many of you planted some vegetable or fruit this year? You planted it back in when? February? If you were smart, you did February. If you were scared of freezing, you didn't. Around here, it's always worth the risk. Go ahead and plant it in February. Anyway, February, March, how many of you planted? And then you had to water it, right? And how long did you have to do that? Longer than you wanted to. But guess what? If you kept doing it, you reaped. It's about reaping time right now. All of a sudden, it gets fun. All of a sudden, all that work, which was really just a hobby for you guys. Y'all aren't farmers. Right? For a farmer, it's a whole lot of work. For somebody that wants a really big harvest, it's a whole lot of work. Somebody that just wants a pot full, that's easy. But you'll reap if you don't faint. Your miracle will come if you don't faint.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
Your miracle can happen. Your future can happen. Your vision can come to pass. Your dream can produce. Your future can be different if you don't faint.
Amen.
If you don't lose heart. When do we lose heart? When it seems to take the clock, the calendar, the clock, the calendar, the clock, the calendar, the clock, clap, clock, 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 clock. Or discouragement. Or, wow, had a week of drought. Oh, wow, this didn't work. Oh, Don't lose heart. You just keep heading on. Right. All good things take some effort, don't they? The easy stuff really doesn't stick around long. The hard stuff, that's worth something. Amen. You'll reap if you don't faint. Amen. Whatever dream you have, you can have it. Amen. As long as it's not some, you know, I hate to say pipe dream because I found out what that means. As long as it's not some pizza dream. Not just some daydream. Daydream is not terrible, but just make sure this is not. Sometimes our dreams lead us to a passion that drives us to go do something that wasn't the will of God. So you have to be careful what dreams you think on, what desires you cultivate. Some of those desires got planted when you were a kid, and they need to be plucked up and discarded. Amen. Some of your dreams are never going to happen anyway, and if they did, they'd be outside the will of God, so just let them go. I think it's derailed a whole bunch of people having dreams that really didn't amount to anything and they didn't recognize. Anyway, you'll reap if you don't faint. You don't know what's happening under the soil. Just hang in there. You don't know how long it's going to take for the blade and then the ear and then the full corn in the ear, but it'll happen. Just hang in there and expect it. You do have to believe some stuff. Right. You have to have some belief in that seed. Right. What is the seed? The Word of God. Amen. Do you have any belief in that Word?
Yes.
Don't we say we believe the Word?
Yes.
You have to have a belief in the seed.
Yes.
You got corn kernels, you got pumpkin seeds. I mean, I believe this thing works.
Yes.
Other people made it work. It must work.
Amen.
I have to spit them out every time I eat one. It must work. You have to believe the Word of God works.
Amen.
You have to believe the scripture you say will work for you.
Amen.
The problem is, we don't always. In church you do. But then you get home and you forget. You get home and it's like, I don't see how in the world that little seed could produce anything for this, because I don't know what I'm going to do. So I've been thinking about this for a long time and I haven't had any, so I'm just going to figure it out myself and make it happen by myself. You need money, you go make it happen. You go make money happen without trusting God, as you should. Now, you do have to work. You do have to find the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit. But you can't get in the flesh and start making flesh decisions.
Amen.
You know, you heard of the Chinese bamboo tree? That's a... You know, 15 years ago, that was like, wow. But now everybody knows about it. Everybody know about the Chinese bamboo tree? You plant the Chinese bamboo seed, and for 4 years, nothing ever comes up out of the ground. And then in the fifth year, it grows up 80 feet, just sprouts up 80 feet. And so can you imagine, if you didn't know that, you'd be quite fainted by 4 years. I wonder how long it took for the first one to ever finally come up, because they just quit watering it after... After 3 months, it's like, man, this thing doesn't work. So it seemed like it all came up all at once, but really did it come up at once? And it really didn't come up at once. Underneath the ground, stuff was happening for 4 years. There was growth happening underneath. There was character development happening underneath. There was attitude adjustment happening underneath. There was some solid constitution happening underneath. There was a root system that could support the miracle.
Amen.
There was a belief in God for us. There would be a belief in God, a closeness to God, that when the miracle did finally come, we would attribute it to God, love Jesus more, walk with Him closer, rather than just, thank you, God, bye.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
When a miracle takes place, it's supposed to draw us nearer to the Lord.
Amen.
And to be honest, the most intimate, most special moments in your life will be when you did trust the Lord and hang in there, and then He came through because He said He would, and then you love Him because He showed goodness to you when you asked, not just when He felt like it, but He actually gave you the candy. Kids like that. We like it when God just answers a request. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn to Luke chapter 8. So we have to believe the word. We have to believe the word. In spite of how you're feeling, in spite of your circumstances, you have to believe the word. I believed the word. I remember my story. To get married, I had to find a scripture, and I asked God for a wife using Mark 11:24. Why am I turning to Mark 11:24? I'm going to Luke chapter 8, but you heard my story. I needed a wife, wanted a wife, desired a wife, asked the Lord if I could have a wife. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
I asked the Lord if I could have a wife. He didn't say no. I said, well, I want one. I said, I don't have to have one. I could probably make it without, but I think I want one. So is it okay? And if so, I'm going to go ahead and ask you for. So I asked God for a wife and received her and thanked God for her and didn't have her. For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I just hung in there, wasn't worried, didn't fret, didn't pine away, didn't go make it happen my way.
Come on. Good.
I'd already tried my way. My way didn't work for 10 years. Listen, I tried everything. I tried everything to find a wife. I tried high school. I tried college. I tried every bar. I tried every party. I tried church. Went everywhere looking for a wife. Till I finally asked the Lord and then trusted God.
Amen.
Don't get in the flesh and try to make happiness happen on your own.
Amen.
No, you seek the Lord. You seek His will. You stick with Him. You plant the seed and you stick with it. And so all those years, I didn't fret, didn't worry, didn't faint, just kept thanking God for her. You know, and then the first half of that time, you know, I realized, golly, I was not ready for a wife. God had to really work on me. I had to learn who I was in Christ. I had to learn how to be a godly husband. It took me, you know, at least three or four years. And then I got to where I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm ready. I know how to be a good husband now, a good godly husband. Praise the Lord. Bring her on. And then it took another 3 years. And I'm like, what's the delay here? I wonder what the delay is. And then I realized it's because God was still working on her. But listen, you have to believe the word of God. For whatever situation. Now, this is a spouse, but people get single for a long time and then they start making it happen on their own and just ignore Scripture, like don't be unequally yoked. You don't want to be trying to run fast when you got a donkey with you. You need to be two racehorses or two donkeys is fine. Two donkeys is fine. Two cows is fine. Two lambs is fine, but no lamb and goat together. But you can't ignore Scripture or you'll get in the flesh and ruin things. You know, trying to make it happen on your own. You have to believe the word. You have to believe the seed will work for you. Luke chapter 8, let's talk about the word real quick. I mean, not real quick, real long. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. No, I don't want to read verse 11. I want to read verse. This is verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This is Luke's account. I'm going to skip the detail. But then I want to skip down to verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Boy, that's... If you only have a little, that would be mean if I took it from you. But the way God looks at it is, if you're not going to be faithful with the little, I can't trust you anyway.
Amen.
I'll give it to somebody that's doing good.
Yes.
Take heed how you hear. When you come to church, now this is the Wednesday night crowd, you're all, you know, excellent, mature believers. Okay. When you come to church, how do you hear? Are we just kind of filling up an hour or two? How are you hearing? Are you excited to hear? Are you open to hear? Are you ready to hear? Are you excited? Are you hungry? So many people just put in their time, so to speak, And they're not hearing much. They're not getting much. Then the next thing you know, well, I'm not getting fed here. Guess I'll go somewhere else. Well, you aren't hearing good. You will hear wherever God has put you. And that's one way you know where God's put you. You hearing. Take heed how you hear. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In order to have faith, faith is not something that people dream up. There's not one person in this world that just woke up one day and said, man, I got faith in God now. No, faith comes by hearing a truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by this message being spoken. Truth being told is the only way that real faith can come. Faith is not a blind understanding of somebody beyond the clouds. Faith is, real faith happens because you heard a truth. You heard a message, you heard a scripture, you heard God's Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have faith by hearing the truth. Faith is not just something we think, well, I just know everything's going to work out okay. That's not faith. I just know God loves me, so therefore everything that happens is God's will. That's not faith. Unless that was a scripture, that's not faith. Faith is all about knowing God's Word. All right. Go to Luke, where we're at there. Look at verse 9. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who go to Houston Faith Church. No, listen, this is very important. Jesus himself, they're trying to help him show his family some respect. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Take heed how you hear. If anybody in the church knew their Bible, they would have shouted out, 19, you meant 19, Pastor. All right, sorry, my fault. Okay, so 8:19, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach. Now I'm going to read the whole thing over again. They came to him, could not approach because of the crowd, and it was told by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother, my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. All right, so they were trying to give some respect and honor and weight to his family, his natural family. And Jesus said, I mean, he didn't say, no, I don't respect my family at all. He just said, he just ignored it. He said, those that are listening to the Word of God and keeping it, that's my brothers and my sisters. Now, we know that his natural family did follow him. At least eventually they all did, right? So praise the Lord for that. The point is, do we respect those who hear the Word of God and keep it more than natural bloodline? Very few of us. Me and Sister Patty. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not to get an attitude or something. This is simply to have perspective like Jesus had. No offense, Mama. You're in Christ too, so you're in. Praise the Lord. She wouldn't want to sit on the front, but she is accepted. But you understand the point? Do you see the ramifications of what this would do to your life? What is the prerequisite to be called a mother, brother, sister? Hear the Word of God and keep it. Do it. Right? That's heavy duty. That means you got to hear it and believe it, because if you don't believe it, you won't do it. But if you do believe it, you'll do it. Look at Luke chapter 11. You know, all this is really kind of tied together, because if in your lifestyle you're not really obeying God, how in the world could you believe for a miracle? You obviously don't really believe much of His Word. You're just needy. I need a miracle, but I'm not interested in His Word much. And so you start really believing the seed, then it's all the seed. And that's where we find a closer walk with the Lord and things start really popping. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it happened as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But he said more than that. Blessed are those, I think the King James says rather, what does it say?
Yea, rather.
King James says, yea, rather. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. What she was trying to do was elevate Mary. Oh, blessed is your mama. That's all she's saying. Blessed is your mama. That's a natural viewpoint. It's not an evil viewpoint. Hey, we know mother's love. Blessed is your mama. Rather. He goes back to the word of God. Blessed who hear the word of God and keep it. So he didn't want to elevate mom. He didn't want to elevate Mary. He's bringing it, keeping us tied to the main theme of God, which is the word of God. To be planted in the kingdom of God is the whole thing. The word getting spoken is everything. Luke chapter 10. Now it happened as verse 38. Now it happened as they went out, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." That could cover half the body of Christ. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Notice he says, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Now, obviously, people have to eat, and somebody's got to do the serving. We get that. But don't let it interrupt the one thing. Nothing in life gets to interrupt our one thing, which is what? You got to sit with the Lord. You got to hang with Jesus. You got to let him talk to you. I said you got to let him talk to you. You got to let Jesus talk to you. Okay? Now, some of his talking is done in church through somebody, or friends through somebody. Some of it's done through Bible reading. Some of it's done by the Holy Spirit in prayer. You're going to have to spend time with him. You're going to have to hang with him. Spend time. You're going to have to set aside, section off some time where you get to sit before the Lord. Not just in blankness. You don't sit before the Lord in blankness. You sit and let him talk to you. You pray in tongues. You talk in English. You pray. You hear back. You read. You can't sit there just for an hour in silence all the time. You know, prayer and meditation is not blanking your mind.
Right.
That's Far Eastern religion. That's false religion. Blanking your mind is not true meditation. That's demonic meditation. You're supposed to be filled with stuff.
Amen.
Filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit, filled with God, never blanked with nothing. That does not give people peace. That gives people emptiness for the devil to come in and hang out. We fill ourselves with God by praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, reading the Bible, and then we can be silent, let him talk back, hear back from God. So you're going to have to spend time with the Lord, and Mary chose that part. Sister called Mary, verse 39, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Luke chapter 6. Figured if I stuck in one book of the Bible, we could read a bunch of scripture. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord and don't do the things which I say?" Everybody's thinking, fast forward. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Lord, I love you, but I don't really believe much of what you say. At least not enough to do it, Lord. Interesting, huh? Hey, Dad, I love you so much, but I don't believe anything you ever say. Or I don't believe much of what you say. Or it's hard for me to really believe. Oh, it's so hard for me to believe that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, that's so hard for me to believe. Take me at my word, he says. Oh, but that's so hard. Don't be anxious. Oh, but that's so difficult because I'm the warrior in the family. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. And immediately it fell. I've always hated that word. And the ruin of that house was great. So if you want a strong house, you know where we're at? Everybody know where we're at? If you want a strong house, you got to have to hear the word of God and keep it. We know that we build, Jesus is the rock, right? So we build our house on the rock, and that makes for a good sermon. But what is the rock? The rock is Jesus, but what is he really saying? Who that hears the word and keeps it. Hear the word and does it. That's the smart one. That's the wise one. That's the solid person. Dig deep. Plant yourself. Get established in the word of God. Don't just be surface Christian. Dig deep. Don't be afraid of Bible study. Don't be afraid of a little time learning. You know, a lot of the trend is people are just so... they're so full, their life is so full, they don't have time to learn. So they just want to be encouraged. They just want to be motivated with a good parable-type sermon. That's all they really want. Just give me a little stage performance, a little good feeling, and a rah-rah. Man, that encourages me. Look, you need to dig deep. Amen. All Christians, if you're going to be solid, you're going to have to dig deep and plant some root of the Word of God. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn and put this to practice. You ready to put some to practice here?
Yes.
Psalm 107. I want to go there and just kind of show you a little application to this. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Of course, every life necessity is covered by planting the Word of God, learning the Scripture. You can overcome all offense, all unforgiveness, all self-identity problems. You do it by confessing what's true. You know, if he said that you are triumphant in Christ and you hear that in church, you got to go home and say that 100 times. Say it for 3 months until you realize you are triumphant. When somebody says Luke 10:19 is a life changer.
Right. Amen.
And you don't know what Luke 10:19 is, you better be writing that down right now. And then you need to go home and say it. Because it actually says he gives us authority to trample over all evil, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if you don't go through life thinking nothing's ever going to hurt me, then you don't know that scripture. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. And you might have to grow a harvest of that every year. There's seasons when I don't say that very much or think about that very much, and all of a sudden I realize, wow, I gotta grow another harvest of that scripture. So I start feeling that pumping through me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. No. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. I can trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. All the power of him lying. All the power of him trying to scare me. All the power of symptoms. All the power of lack. All the power of unhappiness. All the power of depression. All the power of the enemy. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. There ain't no way I'm going to stay depressed. There ain't no way I'm going to stay discouraged. There ain't no way I'm going to lose. There ain't no way I'm going to go small. There ain't no way I'm going to... How does that happen? That happens because you say it and you plant it and you water it, and all of a sudden you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden it actually is true for you.
Amen.
So this stuff can work for any of this. Here's just one little passage that I want to say. Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. That was all of us at one point or another, just being foolish, not knowing things, not... Verse 18, their soul abhorred all manner of evil. They drew near the gates of death. Verse 19, then they cried to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. So if God wanted to heal you and deliver you from your destruction, what would He send? I said... If God wanted to heal you and deliver you from your destructions, what would He send to you? He would send you His word before He sent you money. Before He gave you a new job, He would send you His word. And now the kingdom mystery comes alive in the New Testament. What do you do when He sends you His word? You plant it. You say it, and you say it, and you think on it, and you grow it. So if you need to be delivered from your destruction, He sent His word for you. If you need to be healed, He sent His word for you. Now, if you've already learned a scripture, if you've already had faith rise in your heart, we can pray for you tonight. Basically putting in the sickle because the harvest has come. You need to know yourself and where you're at. Are you ready for the harvest? Some people are. You know, sometimes in one service somebody could have their faith rise and come get prayed for and the miracle take place and they could run off happy. Other people need about 3 weeks of messages. In the old day, the preachers and teachers would go into a church and have 3 week, 4 week, 5 week long revival. They would call them revivals. They were really a bunch of meetings put together to teach and teach and teach every night of the week. Well, 6 nights out of the week or whatever. 6 days out of the week they were in the church seeking God, listening, learning, 3 weeks in a row. And then they would pray for people at the end of the 3 weeks and they'd get a lot of people healed. Nowadays, jack-in-the-box gospel is all we can handle. I want my tacos. I know I can get them in 65 seconds now. You following me? There is a little disconnect sometimes if we're not willing to spend a little time. The preacher had to be smart and not pray for people on night one. Why? Because the harvest wasn't ready. The seed hadn't been planted. It hadn't been watered. There wasn't enough there to harvest. Now, there were some exception cases. Sure, there's exceptions. We've been in many meetings. We go preach in other places, and the first time anybody sees you, you can get some people healed. But nobody wants to do 3 week meetings anymore. We don't even want to do 3 week meetings anymore, do we? We have a 3 day meeting and about half the crowd shows up. It's like, oh, Saturday night meeting? I don't do Saturday night. Where does that come from? Why is it so hard to come on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night for a special preacher? Well, I guess I can go to one of those. I go to the Friday night, skip the Saturday night, maybe go to Sunday morning. I can do that. Where does that come from? What is that? I know I'm picking on everybody on that side of the room. I don't know which ones of you don't come to our special meetings. We haven't done a lot in the recent couple years, but we used to do a bunch more. I'm not sure which one of you, I'm sorry, I'll move on. I'm not sure which of you do the meeting skipping, but don't. Amen. You need to learn how to be with your church. If your church sets up extended meetings, you come to them. Amen. I don't even have any on the calendar, so you're safe. Everybody say, I'm safe. But this is good building block. This is building your character. This is getting roots going before you need that miracle moment. Well, they scheduled a guest preacher. I don't know if I like that guest preacher. I don't think I like him enough to go to all of his meetings. Where do you get that logic from? Have you ever wondered these things? I know you've probably wondered these things. Elaine's here at every meeting. She's probably had to cast those thoughts off a lot. You know everything. She loves Jesus so much she don't ever think those things. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go read another one of these here. That wasn't in my notes, you know. That just came up. Deuteronomy 30. Now this is talking about the curse of the law and the blessing of the law. Well, we're not under the curse of the law. We're not under the law at all. It's just talking about the result of your choices. Let's say it that way. That'll help us skip a lot of explanation. The result of your choices. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, Deuteronomy 30 verse 1. Okay, Bible interpretation rule. When they tell you the chapter and not the verse, it's an implied verse 1. There, I'm safe. No. Okay. No, my fault again. Okay. Verse 1, it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Don't put too much in there. It's Old Testament theology. Verse 2, and you return to the Lord. The point is this, you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. According to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul. So this is just us changing. It's okay for Christians to change, right? It's okay for Christians to turn and begin to believe a scripture, begin to believe God again, begin to trust with all of our heart again, begin to get hungry. It's okay for us to do that. It's necessary. And matter of fact, the New Testament is better than even the Old Testament. So if it worked in the Old Testament, it certainly works now. If you return to Him, you and your children, with all your heart and all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Just want you to see that. He'll bring you back from captivity. If there's anything in your life that you feel captive to, He'll bring you back from that. Turn to Him, believe Him, and He will. Believe Him, He will. He'll restore your life, your marriage, your body, your finances, your children. He'll restore what pertains to you. Praise the Lord. I could read a few more here. Isaiah 41:10. We haven't read that in a while. Let's go get that. That seems to be a good scripture for everybody to have in their heart. I said Isaiah 41:10. And this is where you start building, you start growing this tree. This will cover a lot of things in your life. This tree right here, this seed right here can grow into a tree that will solve, 70% of your problems. But you got to grow the tree. You got to decide this, say it, think on it, live it, breathe it, let it solve your mental crisis every day for 3 months. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Fear not, for I'm with you. What did I say? 40? I'm going to take my glasses off. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you.
Praise the Lord.
I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You don't really have to read any further than that. But you do have to believe it. Fear not, I am with you. That should solve all your fears. It should solve... I know y'all are looking at me like, he didn't look right. Pastor didn't look right. He don't look right without his glasses. How many of you were thinking that? You do have to believe it. Fear not. This is God to you. And I've sat there and just made myself hear it. You have to make yourself hear this. Fear not. I'm with you. Fear not. I'm with you. Look, don't be anxious. I'm with you. Don't be worried. I'm with you. Fear not. I'm with you. Fear not. I'm with you. Now, you can't be doing something ridiculous against the Spirit of God. I mean, you can't ignore the Spirit's leading and say, well, God's going to be with me no matter what. Well, you got to combine both of those, you see. Be led by the Spirit. Be in the will of God. Fear not, I'm with you. Okay, so don't be afraid. Whatever situation you're in right now, don't be afraid. Whatever situation y'all are in right now, don't fear. Whatever. Don't be stubborn against God. Don't just ignore it and let it go over your head. No, sit there and make yourself think, okay, God said don't fear. I'm going to say that out loud. And that's why I make you say it. You know, we do confession in here. I don't know how other or why other people do confession in their churches. We do it to help you plant a seed. We do it to show you how to plant seed, help you plant the first seed, get you moving in the right direction. But that's not all you got to do. It's not just a ceremonial thing. It's a spiritual thing that we have us confess together. But the real meat happens when you believe it. Because if you believe it, you'll say it again. We need you to believe the kingdom principle. That it works when a man casts seed into the ground.
Right.
Yes. We know seed has to be watered. Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Thanks, God. You're with me. Thanks, God. I'm not going to be afraid. Thanks, God. I'm not going to be afraid. Okay, I'm not afraid. Thanks, God. I'm not afraid. I won't be afraid. You're with me. Thanks for being with me. All right. Fear not. He's with me. Fear not. Thanks, God. You're with me. See what I'm doing? I'm growing my tree. I got to grow this tree. I got to have this tree covering my life because I don't want to wake up worried about stuff. I don't want to wake up anxious, stressed out, freaked out, worried, uncertain, scared, intimidated. Can't take any steps of faith because it's just, no, fear not. And then don't be dismayed. That'll cover the rest of it. I don't know the difference. Dismayed, fear. Dismayed, put out, discouraged. Be not depressed. You cured depression right here. He said, don't be depressed. Okay, I'm not going to be. Okay, I'm not going to be depressed. because he's my God. You're my God. Now your flesh is saying, no, you're very depressed. Your mind is saying you're very depressed. Your life circumstance saying you're very depressed. Look at you. Look what has happened. There is nothing to be joyful about. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. Okay, I'm not going to be dismayed because you're my God. 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 And he's pretty good. You have to go ahead and decide. You have to take this scripture and grow your tree. And then all of a sudden, man, everything's cool because he's my God. My God's bigger than their God. We got the one God. We have the one true God. He's the one. He's the awesome. He's everything. So don't be dismayed. He's my God. He's my God. I'll strengthen you. There you go. You got strength now. He'll help you. Oh, that just solves it right there. He'll help you. He'll help you. Will he help you?
Yes.
Will he help you?
Yes.
Is he going to help you?
Yes.
Is he going to help you?
Yes.
Okay, there's nothing to worry about because he's going to help you. He's going to help you. You're going to help me, God. You're going to help me, God. I need your help. You're going to help me. Oh, you're going to help me. So I don't have to re-pray, help me, much. You with me? You don't have to pray, help me, help me, help me, help me. Pray it once or twice or whatever and then stop and then say, okay, he'll help me. You'll help me. You will. You will. Thanks. Now you turn it over into thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. The help me reminds me of, I've been in some Catholic weddings before, and they always make the groom and the bride kneel before the priest and they get the blessing and the water and the whatever, the juice. I don't know what they do, but they get the extra stuff. They kneel and get prayed for and all that at the wedding ceremony. And I've been in two weddings where with the bachelor party in the back, I mean the bachelor, yeah, party, isn't that what it is? The bachelor groomsman, the groomsman. And so we get the groom's dress shoes, and on the bottom we get liquid paper and we paint help me. So when he kneels in the ceremony, it says help me. Because they kneel like this facing the priest. We did that in, I'm planting seed for all of you to use that. Okay. We did that in two weddings, and one of them, it was so funny because the little ring bearer, he's like 5 years old, he sees it. And he's like, he's making a huge scene. And all the groomsmen were like, I've never told that story in church, but there it went. Because of help me. But between us and God, he'll help us. He'll uphold us. He'll cover you. He'll have your back. The Bible says he will uphold you in your integrity. There's many people that need help and ask for prayer, ask for counsel, or whatever. And the answer is, hey, he'll uphold you in your integrity. You believe that, though. It's not about whether you're going to be honest or not. It's believing that because of your honesty, he will uphold you.
Amen.
There's no need to try to walk the line or trick the thing. Just do it with integrity. He will uphold you. You go with him.
That's right.
I'm going to do it, God. I know you're with me. You're going to cover me. No matter what happens, I'm doing it because it's right. Amen. He'll uphold you in your integrity. That's taking a word and saying, I believe that. I'm building my life on the word of God in every way. That's how we succeed. That's how we get miracles. That's how we please the Lord, serve people, love Jesus, love people. You do it because you believe the word of God. I can never get offended at anybody because the Bible says don't be. I can't get hurt. I can't gossip. I can't express. Aaron hurt my feelings, y'all. I just want y'all to know Aaron hurt my feelings, everybody. He hurt my feelings. He. You can't say that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. Everything is covered by the Word of God. Everybody believe that?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.